are you doing?
Buccaneers fans, special edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. The general manager is here, Jason Light, to sit down with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Lee DeCamper's here of Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. What do you think of that, Ira?
I think it's a beautiful thing. He was very gracious and gave us a lot of time and expressed his regrets about not being able to go to the Sage birthday party.
Sage's birthday party. I think he actually would have come out there, Ira, which would have been interesting. Could have been some fisticuffs. But bottom line is, Whiskey Wings is the place to watch the Bucks game on Saturday night. It also doubles as Ira Kaufman's birthday party. Big number 70. Whiskey Wings, Oldsmar, 4013 Tampa Road. Party at 5. We're going to start roasting Ira before 6. Big old cake for everybody. Big fancy cake, Ira, at 6:30-ish. And then Bucks Bengals kick off at 7 o'clock. Great time for fans. We got a few surprises
well
out
done,
there.
Well done, Steve. Well done. Well
so
done.
Sage will be wearing his fancy hat. I've been told your wife bought you a tweed hat or something like that. I don't know what's going on. Ira, look, all the fun wouldn't happen without Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. Don't worry, drive Curry. BillCurryFord.com. Make no payments all summer. But they've got a lot more offers than that, Ira. On top of the great offers, they've got the Ira Kaufman discount, which is always in effect. And General Manager Sean Sullivan is just ready to serve you at all times, any way he can. Ask him some questions. Reach out. He'll help you. Maybe that's body work. Maybe that's service, Ira. They've got the biggest service bay. Sage, they've got loaner vehicles. They'll come out to your home to do certain types of basic work, or they'll come pick you up, get you in a loaner. They do everything for the service department for people who need it. It's fantastic. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side on Dale Mabry, BillCurryFord.com. They're a gold certified collision center, Sage. But start shopping. Buy a vehicle. That's what it's all about. So many people need them, and they're all online at BillCurryFord.com.
We just took our Ford Escape, Steve, across the state to Daytona Beach, running like a charm. Running like a charm.
It's funny. I remember when you got that from Bill Curry Ford. It's a 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. It's 2024, Ira. Where does the time go? You used to be 58 years old.
It might be time for a trade-in, Steve, but it's running so well that, it's got sentimental value for me right now.
All right. BillCurryFord.com. And, Sage, I got a funny story for you. So, Lee, you're going to like this, and you can actually look it up if you want to. So, you know, a lot of people go shopping for, and they use Google reviews when they're looking into a new company. Now, Florida's Elite Restoration, they've got 5-star Google reviews across the board. That's their average, 5.0.
And that's as high as it goes.
That's as high as it gets. And that's hard to do for a company that's helping people in disasters, right? That's when people are most stressed out and they're panicking.
Most vulnerable.
Most vulnerable, exactly. And they've got flood or fire damage, storm damage. All kinds of things. And of course, this has been highlighted recently with the crazy storm that blew through here. So Florida's Elite Restoration.com, that's where you can go learn about all their services. Owner Josh Martin, who we've talked about, big Bucks fan, is just fantastic. And you have to go to their Google reviews and see in one of the reviews, Ira, this woman explains her whole story. She mentions the Ira Kaufman podcast and Joe Bucks fan in the Google review about how she heard about their incredible service, but she didn't think it was going to be as good as it really was, even though she trusted the Sage's recommendation.
Wow. And then, of course, we have Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, is a customer and a very pleased customer of Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yeah, he was when he had damage last summer. He's talked about that. So remember Florida's Elite Restoration. As soon as you have any kind of disaster, call them 24-7. It's legitimate. This customer in the Google review, their story was about a Saturday night issue that they had.
Florida's- you can imagine how busy they are right now, Steve. But you know what? They got enough of a crew. They'll go out and take care of you in a quick, efficient manner.
Covering the Tampa Bay area all the way east to the other side of the state. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Remember, when you call, mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, you'll get that $500 Ira Kaufman special. So that means after your free evaluation with all the technology, if you need their service, if you're going forward, then you get that $500 back, cash for your deductible or just cash back. All right, Sage, look, Jason Light's here, and this is a cool interview. I think fans will really appreciate it. It's very meaty. It's something that we'll be writing about on JoeBucksFan.com.
My first question to Jason Light involved his wife. Who else does that, Steve?
A little off color. Lee, before we hear that question, what did you think of Ira's tactic there? That was
Well, that was interesting, and his response, Light's response, is even better. But the word of the day, ladies and gentlemen, remember this as you're listening to the interview with Jason Light. The word of the day, meddling.
Meddling. I'll tell you another word of the day. He tried to turn the tables on me at the end of his little stint and said something about my wife that was shocking. Steve, I thought it was shocking.
I restole my thunder. I was going to ask him about the depth of the corners, and you jumped right in there. And you were not impressed, and I was. Like, whoa, Ira's screwing me up here.
He did take a shot at you through your wife.
Why not? We're having it was a preemptive roast, Steve.
But a great interview. Here it is. Enjoy it. Grab a cold one and make your plans. Get to Whiskey Wings website so you can see what you're going to order when you come out to watch the game and hang out at Ira's party. Here's Jason Light, Buccaneers general manager. All right, here he is. Jason Light, Buccaneers Ring of Honor general manager Jason Light. That's how I refer to it. I'm not stopping, Jason. I don't care. First question, Jason, thanks for joining us, of course, but we got to ask you. Is Ira the only media guy who actually calls you on the phone out of the blue like it's 1993?
Yeah, I think he is.
If you don't call me back in 5 minutes, I get all pissed off.
He goes, hey, he'll send me a text. Hey, I just called you. Sometimes we're in meetings, you know, we got things going on. I have to, hey, you know, we don't just sit around here waiting for you to call.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Liam and I have tried to coach him up. You know, you don't do that. It's 2024, you know, but all right. Well.
Yeah, there's two people that call me on my phone. It's my wife and Ira.
Speaking of that, that leads me to my first question. Jason, my job's to make you laugh on this thing. Other than Blair's snoring.
Oh.
What keeps you up at night?
Whoa.
And that's a good one.
Would not like that. She does not snore.
What keeps you up at night concerning the organization? What worries you? It's probably an injury, right?
This time of year, it's just, I don't want to say keeps up at night. If there is something that keeps you up at night, it's what's going to be the next. There's always going to be something, whether it's an injury, usually this time of year. So you want to go into the regular season fully, you know, with your full arsenal, all healthy.
You don't have a negotiation hanging over your head.
No.
Which is a great relief, right?
That is a great relief. You know, there's always something kind of hanging over that dead period in the summer when you get out with your family. That's when we, you know, get out of town for a little bit. And that was hanging over me a little bit, you know, just you kind of worry. You know that they're all usually ends up working out. But so for that to come together as quickly as it did when we got back, that was great.
We were never worried about the negotiation, but I kind of thought you would do it before before training camp started. But whenever the time is right, right?
Everybody else, not you guys, but a lot of people seem to worry about that, but I would worry about it. But I said, you know, those four pictures on that stadium, those guys were all about to walk out of here in free agency in March, and we got them all back. So I'm not worried about Tristan, who we have on our contract.
That's right.
And we were prepared to franchise if we had to. We didn't want it to come to that, but we got it done. It, you know, really cool story, though, the day before it got done. You know, and during these negotiations, it's always, it's kind of awkward because I have a good relationship with the players. We all do. I mean, we have a great locker room. But, you know, during negotiations, you pass each other in the hall. Hey, how you doing, Tristan? You know, it's not like it lovey-dovey like it normally is. So, you know, we run into each other a little bit here and there at events and here in the weight room and the cafeteria and all that stuff. But he came up. I was walked out of my office. I was in a meeting with, I think, Spytek, and I walked out, and he's sitting right outside my office. He goes, hey, Jay, you got a few minutes? I'm like, sure.
Wow.
And he walked in. I said, anytime, come on in. And he goes, yeah. I said, you need to come in here more often. He's looking at my pictures and talk about my family and stuff like that. And he goes, hey, I just want to let you know, I want to get this done, and I love the organization. It's killing me that, you know, I'm not out there with 100% with my guys. I just want to let you know, I want to get this done.
Not that you were sweating it.
We were sweating it, but he didn't want to talk about what the demands were that he had. He didn't want to talk about any of that. He didn't say, I need this, I need to come up on this or whatever. He just said, I want to let you know, I want to get this done.
That's three quarters of the battle.
And he, it's just very mature conversation.
Yeah, just a human level.
Yeah, just a very mature conversation. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but, you know, we got things done within the next 12 hours. So
it almost sounds like it bothered him that that may have created a perception that he wasn't a team guy.
I don't know. We all know him well enough
to
know that he is.
He subconsciously, like, oh, does that make me look bad? You know?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I know it was killing him that he wasn't out there. You know, doing everything, and I don't blame what he was doing or anything. Didn't hold that against him, I should say.
Happens all across the league.
So, Jason, there's a ton of amateur GMs out there. A few of us sitting right here, of course. And you mentioned the Wirfs contract. So the salary cap website say $22 million is now in the Bucks' pocket for this year, where you could spend on players. How does that change? It's a kind of a new situation for you to have cap room this time of year. How does that change the pro personnel department's approach? And is it something like, hey, does that excite you, or you're like, hey, you know, we can roll that to next year and see what shakes out?
So a few things, and, you know, thank God I have Mike Greenberg and Jackie, both very, very smart people. The Bucks fan can rejoice that I'm not in charge of the cap and stuff, that I have people that do that for me. But, you know, that was part of the plan the whole time. So, first of all, we need, just to function through a season, you need about $10 million in cap going in, just for IR.
Contingencies.
Yeah. We're not counting the practice squad yet, and they don't count the 52nd, 53rd player yet. You only count the top 51. So with all that stuff, and, you know, contingencies, like you said, IR, you need about $10 million just to go into the season. So you've seen us in the past in years being having no room, and then we do somebody, restructure somebody so we can get $10 million. So that, and then there's going to be a little bit extra that we have to count on rolling over for next year, because we took $14 million in dead money on Shaq and Jensen this year, but we split it in 2 years, and next year we've got to take $29 million. So we still have a big dead money cap hit on those two next year that we purposely did, spread out. We did that, only took 14 this year so we could do Mike, Baker, you know, Levante, you know,
Winfield,
all the guys, Winfield, yeah. Tristan. So next year, that's probably the end of the big ones that we have to do, and then we kind of see ourselves getting out of the situation that we put ourselves in intentionally after we won the Super Bowl.
But I guess in theory, though, if you guys are 6-1 and trade deadline's coming and something happens, you could spend the money and say, we'll figure it out later. Like, at least you have that flexibility.
We have some flexibility.
Hope I'm not speaking out of turn here. One time you told me about, and I'm not going to specify the sites, but there are sites out there that dabble in salary cap issues. I think one time you told me, be careful with those. Sometimes they're accurate. Sometimes they're not. They are not privy to the actual contracts.
Yeah, well, some of them are privy. Yeah, but you have to be careful. There's not everybody understands what you're planning on doing. So there's not like a monitor on the wall that says we have this much cap room right now.
It's like a stock ticker.
We don't look at it that way. We look at it like what we're planning on doing here in the future, and then this is how we are operating under this much cap room, if you can understand what I'm saying.
You know me now. I like to look under rocks, Jason. That's my reputation, especially with you. So I'm looking at this team. You know, I don't have a lot of major concerns. But, and this is something that you might be thinking about, like, depth at cornerback behind the starters, what do we got? Do we have anybody that's established behind the starters? What's your feeling about the corner room if somebody goes down, if McCollum doesn't take the next step up? You know, Dean's had trouble staying healthy for 17 games. What's your feeling about the corner room?
Well, sometimes when you say, and people say established, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a fix. You know, there are players that you recognize name, but they can be past their prime, well past their prime, and you're better off with a young ascending player than you are an older player that people recognize. But I will say this about our corner. We are, at this point right now, I know we haven't played any preseason games, and we still have quite a bit of time here yet before the regular season, but we are excited about some of our young players there. We think Josh Hayes is taking a real big step right now, is playing very well. And we're real excited about Tyreek Funderburk. We think Bryce Hall has done some good things. You know, everybody has heard Zion is having a hell of a camp. And Dean's been doing fine, too. But right now, we were just actually talking about today. This is the most excited I've been about the depth of young talent that we have in the secondary.
Steve can vouch that I'm not pulling out BS here. If someone said, what are you surprised about with the Bucks? I would have said the cornerback depth. They're after Izzian, there's like four or five guys you could pull out of hat. They're about equal. Am I way off base by saying that?
Well, what's been exciting about Izzian is he's been playing more safety, and he's been doing really well there too. So, and then, you know, he's obviously nickel, and then we got Smith, who we drafted in third round this year, who's been phenomenal. So yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Thomas, I thought, has been making some plays.
Javier has been playing great too. So he's another nickel slash safety. So
on the player development back there, what can you say about Todd and Kevin Ross and those guys as far as developing the defensive backfield? Because you don't have a first round pick back there. You won a Super Bowl without a first round pick back there, and it was something I think I mentioned to you once before. You had no, when you won the Super Bowl, you had no past or current Pro Bowler in the secondary. What's going on with the development? Why is it so good?
Well, Rock is a very good coach. Nick Rapone is a very good coach. Rashad Johnson is an excellent coach for us. And then Todd, having played the position, that's kind of his baby, the secondary. Right. And he spends a lot of time. I mean, now our position coaches spend, you know, a lot of time with the players, obviously. But Todd spends, it seems like every day, players are walking out of his office after a film session. I mean, he grabs those guys, especially in the secondary, and watches a lot of film with them. That lunch is delivered up there, and you know, the breakfast is delivered there and there before I get here sometimes. So I think he just spends a lot of time with them. He really, really enjoys the development aspect of, especially in the secondary.
Jason, I'm going to drive the Kemper crazy here, but that's not a bad thing. I'm going to talk about the run game. Now, me and him go at it all the time. He says it's a passing league, and don't worry about it, Ira. And I said, well, you can't have Mayfield throwing 48 passes. That doesn't work. So, Jason, I ask you the same thing every year. Why is the run game going to take a leap up this season? And I know it drives you crazy that it hasn't the last 2 years.
Well, you do have to run you have to be efficient running the ball. You have to be able to run the ball when you need to run the ball. You can't ask a quarterback, like you said, to throw it, you know, 50 times a game. And I just feel, you know, I guess you're just going to have to trust me on this. I just have a pretty good feeling about it this year. I think a mindset with the offensive linemen, not that the mindset wasn't there before, but just a little bit different mindset, a little fresher, some different tweaks the way that Liam's doing.
I was going to ask you about Cone's approach to the
Liam's
run game.
Liam's got a very good understanding of the run game, knows what he wants, and has a good background, you know, his background, who he's been with, and he knows how to tweak things and be creative. So not that Dave didn't, but it's just a little bit different, and I just have a good feeling about it. It helps. We drafted first-round pick. So
you'll have two new starters up front.
Could.
So that's part of the equation of for your optimism?
Yes.
What hurt worse?
But I will say, Hainsey's been doing a great job. I didn't want to take anything away from him.
Well, I noticed that Barton has yet to be anointed as a starter. I point that out all the time, and people get mad at me. Oh, well. What hurt the run game worse? Losing Jensen, losing Marpet, or losing Gronk?
That's a good one.
That's a great one. Well, that's a tough one. That's okay. You ask me who's my favorite child.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning Gronk only because...
Jensen.
Losing Jensen was, well, all three of them are tough. Those are all three tough days for me. Getting the call from Allie and then being out there seeing Jensen go down and then knowing that Gronk was going to retire. But I can't answer that.
My question, because Jensen was all of a sudden, you didn't expect that. You had time to plan for Marpet. Mm-hmm. You had time to plan for Gronk. Jensen was all of a sudden.
Yep.
At the worst time.
With the center position, Jason, the biggest question Lee and I are getting constantly from fans is, how does Graham Barton look? Now, we don't have practice film to watch, so we have no idea. You see him make a block here, you see him get pushed around a little bit there. How would you tell the typical fan, how does Graham Barton look?
Well, he looks exactly what we were hoping right now, because, you know, it's not a flashy position, as you guys know. It's not like watching a receiver and, you know, even a DB. When you're watching in the trenches, there's only certain people and some diehard fans I see on your site that love the trenches.
Yeah. You notice them when they screw up. That's when
you notice when they screw up. Yeah. But right now, I would say that we ooh and ah over his athleticism. I mean, the guy getting out in space is really fun to watch. You know, in the outer and the perimeter, those pulls and getting the second level, and that's was part of our problem in the past. We couldn't get the mic blocked and. This guy's a phenomenal athlete.
That's what Baldinger said about him.
Yeah, he's very, very strong. He plays with great leverage. And we haven't seen the nasty streak that we saw in college right now because he's learning. I mean, he's done some, you know, played with effort, don't get me wrong. But I think you're going to see in the games now. And the thing with the center position, he hasn't played since his freshman year. There's just all kinds of things going on. Like, you got to worry about identifying the front, making your checks with your guards, and then – snapping the ball too.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff by week one, I promise you, he's going to be in a different place. I mean, he's been doing good.
How are the snaps?
He's had, I don't know, a handful that he'd probably like to have back, but not that many.
Nothing that can't be fixed.
Yeah, he's very good at it. But it all comes down to he's got to remember the cadence. He's got to remember all these things, and it's just all new. And he's a rookie. But he's very smart, works very hard, so I have zero doubt that he's gonna get it down here.
How much, Jason, in retrospect, the Detroit game, tough venue, very good team. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they were in the Super Bowl this year. It wouldn't shock me. Game tied after three quarters. And they won the game. You didn't lose it, but they went out and won it. But when the season ended and you're looking back and like, how much did that game and your competitiveness and that game, your grit on the road, how much did that factor into you and Spytek and all the guys and even the Glazers saying, we're right there. We're kind of right there with these guys.
I think the entire team, as you let things settle after that game. Not, I want to say right away, but as you let things settle, there's a lot of pride that, we went into a really, like you said, tough place to play. That place was loud. You couldn't hear the person next to you. And a good team, a lot of good players. And like you said, we were right there. A couple plays go one way and not the other. And, there could have been a different outcome. So I think it's just like you said, we feel like we've got a really good team. And I think that the young players that we had last year are going to be even better this year. And then we had a draft where I think a lot of these guys would contribute. So I think some people said we didn't add anything in the offseason, but I think we did. I think we had a great draft, and I think the young guys are going to be even better than they were last year.
Jordan Whitehead, just right there.
That was a great addition.
No one mentions him. It's like, well, wait a minute. He wasn't playing on the Bucks last year.
That's a great addition. I mean, he's
a former light mistake. A former light mistake. Letting him go.
I've had a lot of them. Maybe you can have a podcast of all my mistakes. We'll go through them all.
Greenberg said it was a mistake.
Hey, Jason, Trey Palmer. Lee and I have played with the stat a bunch of times. We've talked about it here. Next Gen Stats said that he had the best burst off the line of scrimmage, the fastest first second of a route in the NFL last year. So, is that matching up to what you see from your practice stats and the GPS and all the miles per hour tracking you do? And where do you think his next step is in his game?
Yeah, so it does. He's very fast. He's got a lot to clean up, and he'd even tell you himself, catching the ball across the middle in traffic. And in the last week, he's been doing a great job with that because you want to get the ball in his hands. You want to get the ball in space to utilize the speed. So instead of just sending him vertical, we want to work on getting him the ball underneath and, as a crosser.
Sort of like Antonio Brown.
Kind of Antonio Brown. You want to get into a defense, into the heart of the defense with that speed, and that kind of opens up other things. So pretty excited about what he's been doing here, especially the last week.
Steve, who's been writing about that all summer long?
Me.
I'm gonna guess it was the guy with his hand up here.
All right, Jason, answer this question in your own inimitable way.
Hey, he can answer however he wants. He's the guest. You don't get to tell him how to answer the question.
He runs the show here.
Devin White. I'm just going to bring him up for a second. And we debated this. I said to Lee, was Devin White a good pick at number five?
Yes.
And Lee says, they won the Super Bowl, and I agree. I don't think you win it without him. So I agree with that. But then you don't sign him to a second contract. How do you look at Devin White?
He was a very, very big part of our team early in his career. He did some phenomenal things for us.
Yeah.
I can't go back and make changes. I mean, you can play that game, go back and forth. What would you have done different? But, I like that Super Bowl ring, so I don't know if that would have...
So not signing him to the second contract, that's not a regret in your mind when he was the fifth pick in the draft. I mean...
sometimes you just have to make some... You got to make some difficult decisions. And what you feel is best for the football team. And we have a lot of dead cap, and we have a lot of money that we had to decide where it was going to go. And we felt like we had to make those decisions.
Would it surprise you if he has a nice career in Philly?
No, it wouldn't surprise me because he's a very, very talented player. Very, very talented player.
So, Jason, you made a really bold statement a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was bold when you said this is the best chemistry, camaraderie, culture situation that you've been around. And then you said it again. Todd agreed. Lavonte David agreed. And just, I think, for the average fan, it's like, well, shit, Tom Brady was on this team, and this is like a Super Bowl team. So it says a lot. Can you give a little more as to what that means on a day-to-day basis, or why you feel so strongly about that, and other people too?
Well, you know, I don't like Tom Brady. I mean, being here, that was great for all of us. I mean, it was a different time. It was COVID. It was, you know, we didn't know what to kind of expect. How the rookies were going to react, and how just what the chemistry was going
to
be like.
And you hadn't been to the playoffs, right?
We hadn't been to the playoffs. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was phenomenal. We won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's kind of on its own island.
Sure.
You know, so when I'm saying it now, it's just a little different because we've got, at this point now, we have more young players that are significant contributors from our last three drafts, and including this one. And to see those guys kind of come up together, and we've been, you know, winning divisions. So they're not like from a losing, you know, my first 5 years when we weren't winning. And they're used to winning together, and they've been part of the solution of winning together. So the camaraderie along with the veterans that we have, like Mike and Levante, they're phenomenal leaders. And Baker, who's really one of the best leaders at quarterback I've ever been around. I mean, Tom's is his own, you know, animal. But Baker is like, to even say that, put him in that category as a leader, is saying something about him. It's just, it's a recipe. It's been a lot of for hopefully for success. It doesn't always transfer that way because you lose games and all of a sudden the vibe can go to hell. So, but it's right now, I'd rather have it be the way it is now than the other way.
Talked about this in the combine. It's kind of a running theme. Charles Davis was here recently with CBS, and he said on the air, this building is seething because people are overlooking you. Kay Adams, just a couple days ago, Kay Adams, she's on a training camp tour.
Hey, he is obsessed with Kay Adams.
Well, there's worse people to be obsessed with.
You understand
about.
That.
You know, I understand it's difficult to get to 32 teams in a couple of weeks, if not damn near impossible. Well, she just added to her tour stop. I'm like, wait a minute. She went to Carolina. She added the Saints. She added the Falcons. No Bucks. I'm like, what doesn't fit? I'm thinking, these three slapdick teams, what have they done in the last 4 years?
What's the matter? You don't feed her when she comes here? Well, what's going on?
The Saints haven't done crap since you knocked them out of the playoffs 4 years ago, and yet they're drooling over these three. Only thing you do is win division titles in a Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, we can't go down there. Oh, it's a bad hair
day. You know what? You know what? He loves it.
So are you seething? I think Lee's trying to
Are you seething, Lee? Jason, are you seething?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. No, I still keep those receipts. I mean, trust me.
They're in Nelson's drawer over there.
I saw that tweet and
the one I sent out.
Yeah, so I'll save that, and use it later. But it's kind of just like more fuel for us. You know, I mean, hey, you don't want to. I guess. That's fine. It's part of what's kind of been driving us a little bit.
Well, I'll add to this. You took the Panthers quarterback, who they gave up on, and turned him into a playoff winner. But yeah, we got to go to Carolina Panthers camp. But we'll ignore Tampa.
Yeah, you get kind of used to it around here, I guess. But it's been.
It is a little weird, though. You have to admit. It is a little strange.
It is strange.
And it keeps going, too, which is kind of funny. But I'm glad you're keeping Lee's tweet, because I know there's like a file cabinet of Joe Bucks and receipts. So there'd be like one tweet on one side and then a file cabinet on the other side.
Jace, we talked about the revamped, to a degree, offensive line, potentially two new starters. How excited are you, if the holes are better, which I think they will be, how excited are you for Rashad White and Irving, especially White? To me, and Lee and I fought about this, I didn't think he had much of a chance, you know, in terms of the holes, getting hit behind line of scrimmage. Did he make the first guy miss? No, not as much as you want him to. But could this be a big year for White running the football? We know how good he is catching the ball.
Yeah, there's always that potential. Yeah, we know what he can do in the passing game. I think there's more in the tank there as a runner too, but I think the way that it could end up being this year with Bucky really hits that hole, and he, you know, he's got some phenomenal make-you-miss ability.
And also a good receiver.
And also a very good receiver, catching the ball great. But also, I think Sean Tucker's been having a really good camp. I think we've got some depth there, and that all of them, I think, combined are gonna help us.
What's the one thing White has to work on as a running back? The one biggest thing?
you know, he's got the tools. He's got the athleticism. He's got the heart, the drive, the mentality, all those things. I think one thing he's gotten better at is seeing it and hitting it quicker. So instead of waiting, for it to happen, you know, get out of the, you know, kind of, he had that Le'Veon Bell kind of worked for him.
Yes.
But now you can get back to that once, but I think he's seen it and hitting it quicker.
He's an outlier, Bell. Most people don't do that.
So we got a preseason game coming up Saturday, and as an evaluator, how much more stock do you put in a preseason game than a practice or a joint practice? Is it 15% more if a guy succeeds under the lights than it would be out here executing? How does that work for you?
I don't know. I can't put a number on it. It does. It's a little bit more just because it is actual, you know, they have nerves and you want to see how they are reacting to their nerves and how they can, if they can calm them down, if they can go ahead and go out there and execute. You also like to see them going against other players. You're used to seeing them going against your own. I think we're also trying to see if confirm of what we're seeing here. I mean, we kind of know how our team's going to shape up, but you see those games, sometimes most of the time it confirms what you know, but when you see it go the other way, then you're avoiding, you know, making a bad decision later.
Sure.
With Chris Braswell, it seems like he's a typical rookie in a sense that you don't see a whole lot of him initially because he's learning, he's getting used to things. You know, it's all new.
Yeah, they're dropping him a lot. They're not rushing him a lot right now. They're getting used to the drops in the passing game.
Well, you got a pick today on a drop. I saw that against Otten. Yeah. And I was going to ask you, it just seems like he's making more flash plays. Whether, like you said, he's not rushing a lot, but he's making, you know, like today a pick. And a couple days ago I saw him. He was in the backfield more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feedback on what kind of progress he's making?
Real happy. It's very physical. It's very smart. He's an athlete. Saw that today in the pick. And when I say that we're dropping him a lot, they're working with him as a rusher. Don't get me wrong. It's just they want to get him used to every situation that they can, so it's going to come quicker to him out there. So we've been very happy with him.
Well, you were talking about him being athletic. When I first saw the number, you know, it starts with a 3. I thought it was a safety. It was that far back when he was guarding Otten. So I think that's an example of his athleticism. You hit him that deep.
Yep. Yep.
I don't want you to lose your palace guard because I know how much your comfort level with the people around you that you've cultivated very well. How surprised are you, or is it kind of like in your mind, we're gonna lose some people next offseason? I mean, I was surprised you didn't lose them last offseason. What's going on there? Is it, again, a disrespect to the organization? Well, what's going on? You don't want to lose these people.
No, but I don't want to. I want what's best. I mean, be happy for them. I mean, you know, they've been here a long time.
You remember when you were in that position,
yeah,
right?
Course, yeah, of course, of course. You know, it's just, it's kind of luck of the draw. It's things have to just kind of, when I got this job, I was actually going after the Miami job. And I think I had a really good chance of getting it. I was going to get it, I think. And then the Glazers had called me back for another interview, and I happened to be in the area for the East-West and went, and after going to both interviews, I was like, I think I want to work for – not that I didn't want to work for the other organization. They just made me feel very comfortable, and I knew that I'd be able to work with you.
Joe Bucks fan,
yeah. Yeah. So, but, I mean, my point is it's just kind of got fortunate that year that – and I just think it just hasn't – The sky hasn't opened up yet for these guys, and it will at some point in the girls.
You mentioned the Glazers, Jason. We don't talk about them maybe enough. They do sign the checks, Jay, but, you know, how meddling are they, and how often do you bounce things off them in terms of...
That's a strong word, Ira.
Yeah,
meddling.
Yeah, you're trying to get this guy in trouble.
No.
The guys sign my checks, meddle.
It's an easy answer.
They don't. But, Jason, in terms of, like, making this guy the highest-paid player at this position, I'm going to make this guy, they have to be involved in something like that. They have to sign off on that.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of planning meetings in the off season. As soon as the season's over, that's when it picks up for me and my department. So we have a lot of planning meetings, and this is where in that particular case, the values, that's where I lean on Mike and Jackie, and this is what it's going to have to be. You know, we know
he's elite.
Him and Antoine, and you know, so they're very well. It's not like I can just pick up the phone and, hey, by the way, I just gave, you know, I tell them several times, and we have several meetings, and you know, they do ultimately sign off on things like that. But
their attitude is, I think, Jason, is this an elite player that's ascending? Well, okay, do what you want to do.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Those are the easy ones to come to an agreement of what we need to pay. Now, what you got to hammer out the guarantees and the terms and all that stuff. But, yeah, they don't want to let an elite player go. I promise you that.
Yeah, about the meddling, Jason. No, I'm teasing. Hey, just because Lee brought it up here, and Todd Bowles told us last week, a double-digit edge rusher, not that important unless it adds to the current edge rush. So the sack total is really what he said. So, hey, if I get a 12-sack guy, but we have 41 sacks, it didn't do anything. It didn't help us. Does that make it easier when you have a coach? Because I imagine there's got to be some coaches who are like, I need that monster off the edge. And Todd's attitude seems to be, just give me some quality guys and we'll find the pass rush.
Yeah, it makes it – well, it's rational is what it is, because it's those T.J. Watt and those type of guys.
That's
are
right.
Just they're very few and far between. But if you can get a group of however you want to do it, DTs and DNs and – linebackers and safeties, in our case, that get the sack total and affect the quarterback. You know, however we do it, as long as it's affecting the quarterback and we're winning, he doesn't care. So
yeah,
that's
at
great.
The end of the day, the sack totals for Bowles since 19, when he came aboard, they're very consistent.
Yep. Yep.
And now he cobbles together. This guy's got 6. This guy's got 5. It's not like Barrett when he had 19 and a half. Things have changed, but the sack total hasn't. I got to give Bowles a lot of credit.
Oh, you have to. But and now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure he would say the same thing. We'd love
for them
to get one or two of them to have
double-digit
sacks. Yeah,
Braswell, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love that. That'd be even better, but yeah.
All right, well, we won't keep you forever, Jason, even though we sort of had a plan to try. And it went pretty well. So,
Thanks, Nelson.
We appreciate that. Hey, Ira's 70th birthday's coming up. You know, you're not going to be there to throw a little roast, a little shade at him, but you have any thoughts about a man turning 70 and Ira's work or anything like that?
Well, so your lovely wife, not, I didn't realize, she's blind, right?
No.
Oh.
That's worse than meddling. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you opened up with his wife snoring.
That is a classic. That is a classic.
I see. He wrote it down.
I just assumed she was
this whole time. That's
okay.
A classic, Jason.
All right.
No. I wish you were at the party to say that.
Oh, yeah. You should see me after a few drinks.
All right. Well, hey, great luck this season. You know, we're rooting for you. Even if you think we sometimes aren't, we're rooting for you. We love wins. It's much better than the doldrums of many, many years past. And I do have to say, I'm sure you have a closing thought always. But Mike Evans, when I was talking to him about some of his memories of the last 10 years, I didn't even ask him. He said Jason Light belongs in the Ring of Honor. And I have it on audio where you're going to hear it on the podcast at some point. It was quite a rant.
Did you ever address Jason
that was very nice.
And not say Ring
Mike
of Honor
belongs
Jason
in it too.
Light?
Mike belongs in it too.
No, I don't. No, he did enough.
It's just Ring of Honor Jason Light. That's it.
It's funny. I got an email from a fan who actually said, hey, well, I get what you're saying with the Ring of Honor and Jason, but suppose the Bucks win 2 games this year. I'm like, stop.
All I wrote back was stop it.
That was it.
Did you show Port Richie Lou around yesterday,
Jason? Oh, that was great.
Jason?
That was a great
Did he
gesture.
Curse up a storm? He curses like a sailor.
No, you know what? I reached out. I DM'd him and said, hey, we get a kick out of listening to your pregame speeches, you know, on Sundays. So I reached out and said, hey, we'd like to have you know, come on out to practice. And Greeny gave him a tour around. But before I met him, when I was walking over to meet him, I was like, I think it was Spytek says, sometimes you got to be careful. Be careful when you meet your hero, you know. You don't know how that's going to go. And he didn't disappoint. He was a great,
a good
classy guy.
Yeah, Lou's a legend.
Classy guy. Yeah. And his friends, they're all from Brooklyn. I call them the Beastie Boys. They're a bunch of great guys.
He bleeds Bucks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what, Jason? It seems like you've enjoyed opening up more access to the cameras behind the scenes, whether it's the Bucks cameras or other things and fans. You have a different, changed feeling about that?
I have. It's... you know, I don't want to be that old antiquated, GM that says, no, we're shutting down. We no access. That's going to hurt our team. We're not going to, you know, it's a different era now with content, and people are used to it and the fans want to see it. And when you get the fans excited, it only helps your team because the players get excited. Now, So when a when we draft a player and then we bring him in the next day, the first round pick, and bring him into my office, it used to be they'd, you know, somebody bring it in and we'd shut the door and he and I would talk and then he'd go talk to Todd or vice versa, Todd first, then me, whatever it is. But now they come in with four cameras following them and and they're just used to it, you know, they're used to it.
Sure, yeah.
It's like a full-time reality show, but the fans love this. And so I just thought it would, I was open to, told Nelson, I'm open to having them film our meetings and things like that if they can get some pretty cool segments that make our scouts look good, and which I think they did, and that was really fun to watch that.
Oh, yeah, the That's last awesome. One about That's the awesome. Scouting department. That was excellent.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
All right, Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, Sage, a lot to digest in that interview there. We're not going to break it down now, but we will next time. We'll talk about some of the very interesting things there. But I will give Lee a shot. Anything that stood out to you that you really can't wait to mention, Lee?
Well, the thing that jumped out to me was, you know, I asked him about Braswell. I thought Braswell's slowly coming along, and what and he agreed with me, but what surprised me was he said they're not having him rush the passer. They're confident he could do that. They're not worried about that.
I'm stunned at that.
Yeah, they said they want him to get used to other things, you know, defend the run, of course, pass coverage, and today, you know, the day we're recording this, he had an excellent interception. He deep pass got. I thought he was a safety because his number's 33. I saw the three. I was a safety, and I kept looking like, oh, no, it's 43. Excuse me. I saw the three, and I thought it was a safety. So he's doing well at that. For everything that jumped out to me, that was the one that stuck, was that they're not worried about his pass rush.
Normally, when I see an edge rusher drop into coverage, Steve, I go crazy from the press box. What are you doing? What are you doing? Let him put the quarterback on the ground. But then I look at now, I'm not trying to compare Braswell to a Hall of Famer, but Julius Peppers in particular. Now, he was tall, real tall. I think he ended up with 11 interceptions. I mean, it was a stunning total for a defensive end. Now, I'm not expecting that from Mr. Braswell, but I think Jason Light's feeling very good about his rookie class of 2024.
One word of the day for this interview is seething. That came up. We just talked about the word seething.
Yes.
But I'll say this about Braswell. You know, when Jason Pierre-Paul got here, they had to teach him the position. He had come from playing 4-3 with the Giants and
Spagnuolo.
And so he had to learn the 3-4. And the Bucs and Todd Bowles make it very clear all the time. Huge learning curve at outside linebacker in our defense. So I guess they're just focused on him dropping to, so at least he can do that. Sounds like they want to get the most out of him they can if they're really focused on that. But we're going to see him rush the passer a hell of a lot on Saturday night, Ira. No starters, very few, Todd Bowles said, will go. And that means we're going to see Braswell rush the passer.
It's going to be a rookie fest out there, Lee. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I bet you he plays 40, 50 snaps.
Wow.
You know, one thing I'm looking at in terms of a rookie fest, Lee.
Rookie fest.
And I've heard that this is a little bit of a problem. I think Jason downplayed it a little. I don't blame him. He's a rookie. Hasn't played his first NFL snap yet.
I know where you're going.
I've heard Mr. Barton, who I think is going to be a very good player, has had some issues snapping the ball.
Yes, he has.
And you know how Todd Bowles looks at giveaways, Lee. That's like cold soup. I don't want this. And you put the ball on the ground, snap
unless
the
it's
ball,
Borscht.
And I don't care that he's snapping to Trask Saturday night. I don't care. You put that ball on the ground, and not only are you exposing your quarterback to an injury.
Oh, you're killing the play.
And you're killing the play. And it might be, you know, so I'm not overly worried about Barton in that regard because he hasn't played center.
For three or four years.
But it is a little bit of an issue in camp right now.
Real quick, to be fair to Barton. And by the way, I don't know if Duke ran much shotgun when he was a freshman. I don't know that. I don't follow Duke football that closely. To be fair to Barton, it's not like Hainsey's making every snap perfect. He's had a couple that sailed over a quarterback's head. So,
by the way, Light went out of his way to say Hainsey's having a good camp too, Steve. I think the fairest thing to say, Steve, and I know you like to jump on me, but I'll say it. It's Barton's job to lose. That's the way I'm saying it.
Well, we all know that. Investiture is the ultimate in play, as you love that word, Ira. First-round pick, he's a center. He's got to get out there unless he's really having an issue. I liken the bad snaps. Maybe this is misguided, but I liken the bad snaps to, say, a first-round pick running back who fumbles in the preseason. They're not going to give up on him. They're going to keep working with him. Look at Mike Alstott had fumbling issues. Tiki Barber had fumbling issues. If Barton's bad snaps continue, they'll keep working with him, and if they have to pull the plug because he fumbles in week one. That's another story, but I don't think it's going to hold him back unless he just, you know, turns into a major
mental issue
where he just can't snap.
Lee, I did give you fair warning that I was going to ask a question about the running game, and I did give you fair warning. Here's what I've deduced. How about that word?
And then we're getting out of here. Before you tell us, Ira, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping now. Bill Curry Ford. Support them because they support the Tampa community like no other. They've got dozens of active charities, and they support the Sage. I mean, that's the greatest charity in Tampa Bay right there, the Sage.
Thank you.
and, of course, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. If you have that disaster in your home, water, fire, mold especially, call them ASAP. Don't wait 24/7. They'll come out and evaluate it free.
I've already said, Lee, that I think there's a gleam in the light's eye about this rookie class. There is. He thinks there's going to be 3-4 contributors this season, not 3 seasons from now. Obviously, they love the Smith kid out of Georgia. But I heard him mention a guy's name, and I like the passion in Light's voice when he mentioned it. Did you catch something about Bucky Irving?
Yeah, he did. He light up, yeah.
Bucky Irving is going to get some carries, Steve. And I don't mean Saturday night. I mean in the regular season. Bucky Irving, he's going to get 8 to 10 touches. He also said Tucker's having a good camp.
He got excited about Tucker, too.
Yeah.
And he is having a good
camp. You know, if we're going to parse and pick apart, you know, of course, we have the benefit of looking at Jason Light here across the table. Unfortunately, he had to look at us. But I felt like he was not too excited about Rashad White, yet, relatively speaking. He expects him to do well. But, you know, I think he's more excited about the other guys, which, you know, makes things exciting for Bucks fans because it's more intrigue. And obviously we need the depth at that position.
Lee, did you get any sense that there's a feeling in this building that Liam Cohn replacing Canales, and just in terms of the run game, he has a different approach?
Yes.
And I think it's going to show up on the field. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I get the exact same feeling. And I've spoken with a couple people throughout training camp that have...
How do you think that's going to manifest on the field? What are we going to see different?
I don't know how to word this. The best way I can word it from what I've been told, essentially in layman's terms, Cohen knows how to set up a run game better than his predecessor.
We'll see, Sage. I mean, we can't talk about the plays that we see at practice. That's against the rules for the media. But I will say this. I thought it was really cool the other day when they had practice on Wednesday. And practice was it Wednesday? I'm losing track of the
days. Wednesday they were indoors.
They started outside and they went indoors.
Yesterday, wasn't it?
That was yesterday, Wednesday. And I thought it was very interesting because it was very noticeable to me. Bucky Irving, man, when they moved to the turf, you could see that lightning flying a little bit more off his feet. And, you know, obviously the Bucks are not a turf team, but they will play turf teams. But you could really see that
difference. He's quicker to the hole than White is, Ali. I think he's quicker.
Well,
say better, but quicker.
You know, we've been over this umpteen times. My issue with White, aside from I don't think he could read holes, or at least up to now. You know, maybe this changes with Cohen. Yes, there were holes there last year. Not all the time. They weren't 10 yards wide, but there were holes there that good running backs should run through. He, for whatever reason, chose not to. Yeah. But the other thing that baffles me to no end, but I finally saw him do it a couple days ago, and I used the word finally. Steve can verify this. In one sentence, I used the word finally 3 times because I finally freaking saw it. White is beautiful running through traffic when he gets the ball outside, especially in the flat. Beautiful. He finally did that inside. I saw it with my own eyes. Finally. Finally.
He
I'm
made
like that.
Somebody miss? Did what? He make somebody miss?
Yes. Ooh. Finally.
Newsflash.
It looked just like he was running outside, only it was between the tackles. I'm like, where has this been? And I'm sure that Jason Light and half the people on the Bucs staff were saying the same thing. Watch that tape. Where has this been?
Steve, isn't it nice that we're covering a team that is so set up in terms of their first two wideouts as targets. There's no chatter that Jason Light needs to be interested in Ayuk, you know, and he's being affixed to these different teams. And no chatter about the Bucks, and as it should be.
No, it speaks a lot to the organization, especially when you look at their top 4 receivers, all guys they drafted. I mean, not every team can, very few teams can say that. Or they might be able to say it, but their receiving core isn't anywhere near what the Bucks is. All right, Ira, look, we're going to talk to you next after
That's
your
right.
birthday.
And after the preseason game.
And after the preseason game, and we'll let you close it out. I'm shutting Lee's mic. I'm shutting mine. And what's your final thought here today? Well, as you leave the seventh decade of your life and enter the eighth decade of your life.
70 is the new 80. No, I'm kidding. I'm just trying to make Lee laugh while he was drinking. But I'm looking forward to the party, Steve. I think you've done a sensational job. There's going to be a little video. You know, you two guys, you're always surprising me with video you take. You don't even tell me you're taking it. Ira's eating a shrimp taco. It's dripping down my shirt. And there's the video from DeKemper. I'm sure something like that's going to happen on Saturday. I'm expecting a decent turnout. Not overwhelming, but decent. And I'm going to say a few words myself, Lee, at the end of the night, of gratitude, not only to Joe Bucks fan, but Buck fans in general. They drive this whole operation, right, Lee? And they have for 16 years. Happy birthday to Joe Bucks fan, 16 years. Well done, gentlemen.
Ira, the fact that you're with us, the gratitude is ours.
Thank you, Lee.
I don't know about that, Ira. I'm not sure yet.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, whatever you have to say at the party, Ira, don't say it too late, because a lot of people say, hey, Sage, shut up. The game's on. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I'll sneak it in a few minutes before kickoff.
5 o'clock, you can start rolling in. We do have a little bit of a surprise at 5 o'clock, and that may not last too long, though. We'll start toasting and roasting Ira, maybe 5:45-ish, cake at 6:30. Of course, it's free, and we're not charging $3 for a piece of cake, Ira. And, of course, game at 7, Whiskey Wings, Oldsmar, Tampa Road. We'll see you there, Sage.